Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
All right, 207, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Obviously, with the signing of Russell Wilson, we've spent a lot of time over the first 2 hours of that. Baseball is now back later tomorrow. We are what? 24 hours, 36 hours, 38 hours away from Mets, 37 hours away from the Yankees. We'll get to that in just a second. I do have a couple of Giants calls. I want to just get the Russell Wilson stuff out. We'll get to the Yankees and the optimism of this season for me. I'm going to get to it in a little bit, but like me and Fleeks were just talking about the optimism of both these teams right now. Like, and for me, the fan base of the New York Yankees and the pessimism and the overreaction to what's gone on with the pitching staff, the overreaction. Like, I think Gio put out, like, it feels like a funeral from the Yankee fan. I think that's a bit of a stretch, but I got to tell you, as we hear about the Mets selling out all their tickets, the opening day clearly is going to be a hot ticket. Now, that has to do with Juan Soto and the signing and Bravo, and more stuff on the signing has come out. And another article, detailed article about how it happened, which I'm so tired of. Can we just start playing baseball? So we could, I almost want to tweet out Juan Soto is a Met so we can be done with him formerly being a Yankee or why he signed. This is the same reason I used to tweet out Juan Soto is a Yankee, because I was fed up of looking forward ahead to the last offseason. Like, the whole year, it was always about where is he going to be next year, where is he going to be next year. I'm like, Juan Soto is a Yankee right now. I don't care about next year. And I feel the same way now. Like, Juan Soto is a Met. I don't care how he became one. He is a Met. And we will start to see it on Thursday. And we don't have to keep debating this over and over again about why or who did what or what was the reason or how much his mother was involved. Like, I'm tired of it. I'm so tired of it. And for the Yankee fans, I know coming off the World Series and that fifth inning, and I understand losing Juan Soto, but the pessimism around this team is just, I mean, I have a real hard time with it. People go way overboard. I know all the injuries. I get it. And we don't necessarily care about spring training statistics, but they have a lot of good ones, and we're going to see a catcher be the leadoff hitter for the first time. They don't have a leadoff hitter. They don't have a third baseman. They don't have a rotation. They don't have this. They don't have that. We'll get to it all in a second, but I just think that people have gone way too overboard in how they feel about the New York Yankees. We'll get to it, but I want to get to Danny and Queens here. Still wanted to talk about the Giants quarterback situation. Danny, what's up?
Hey, Chris, thanks for taking my call. I'll be quick with the Giants. You got one thing on the Mets as well.
Sure.
Do you really think the Giants take a third quarterback now in Sanders and put him on the bench, or do they go with Hunter or the defensive guy from Penn State and you really build around Wilson with Neighbors and Hunter as real weapons in the offense?
Yeah, I'm not so sure that Hunter is a real weapon in the offense. I view him as more of a defensive back who'll have like a couple of packages where he can come in and play offense. I don't see him as an every down player for both sides of the ball. I find that hard to believe. And then I do view him more as a defensive back than a wide receiver. But for me, no, I think it's going to be a three quarterback room. I think they're going to draft. Now, could they take Hunter and find a way to get a Jackson Dart or another quarterback later in the draft? That's what we've been talking about. That's a possibility. But to me, I still think if Shedeur Sanders is there at three, there's a very strong likelihood they take Shedeur Sanders at three.
And also on the Mets, how do they go into the season not really grabbing a real ace with this lineup? The lineup is looks very good on paper, but the pitching staff doesn't scare me. Doesn't really who you gonna depend on is what I'm saying in October besides for maybe Senga.
Yeah, I mean,
and
listen,
thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Danny. And it's not even just October necessarily. It's the the lineup's good enough. The team is good enough. And we'll see. The final roster spots will be announced, I suppose, either early tomorrow or later today. I'm really hoping Beatty gets a legitimate job at second base. It seems like him and Acuna are going to be on this roster. To me, that's the question of the team. Like, are we concerned a little bit about the velocity Diaz has shown? Sure. Are we worried about Minter and his health and the back end of that bullpen a little bit? Maybe. But I still feel like the bullpen's solid enough. They got plenty of arms back there, and I do think the Mets have done a good job in this new regime of finding ways to make pitchers successful, and clearly in the rotation too, with what they did last year. But there's no question to me, it's very much similar to last year. Now, last year you thought that there would be enough runs and that the team was going to have to be led by its offense. This year, you know it. Like, there is no doubt. It would be very, very disappointing if this offense isn't better. I remember I was doing the I did the Rico Bronya last night, or two nights ago now at this point, with Evan, and we had the Yankee Met bets or whatever, and we were talking about it, and he wanted to make the bet which offense scored more runs, the Yankees or the Mets. And while I am gung-ho on the Yankee offense, and I'm excited for it, more than I thought I would be, when I was screaming Plan B sucks, I did not think I would be able to convince myself that I like this offense as much as I feel like I like it right now. But still, if the Yankees score more runs, now I know the division they're in is different. The American League is much easier. You're going against, a Philadelphia rotation that was excellent last year, along with arguably the best starter in all of baseball, plus, Sale and the rest of what the Atlanta Braves throw at you. So, yeah, it's a more difficult task, but still, I'm sorry. This offense is potent. This offense is deep. And if the Yankees' offense scores more runs than the Mets' offense, I would be shocked. Like, this is where they're going to make their money, is scoring a ton of runs with Juan Soto, Lindor, Vientos, Alonso. Like, just up and down the lineup, it's a real potent, powerful lineup. Winker and Marte at DH, Alvarez when he comes back. I just think this is a really good, powerful lineup that should hit a ton of home runs. And Lindor has gotten off to shaky starts before in his career, but what we saw last year, if he gives you anything close to the MVP player he was last year, this offense is going to be very, very good. So that's where you're living. So when I look at this team, I think, and we're going to, I'll get to the projections on what I think they're going to be and how well I think they're going to do. I look at this team and there's one question mark for me. It is the rotation, and it's specifically the top of the rotation because, like, in my mind, as far as like talent goes, now we'll see, or expectations go. They have a bunch of number three starters and number two starters. Now, again, what they've done is remarkable, and I'm not putting it past them. It's just hard to accomplish. It's hard to just say, well, we made it work last year. We didn't. We made it work last year, and we'll do it again. Like, that's hard to just, there's no other reason to believe that other than your belief in the foundation, your belief in the organization, your belief in the Mets pitching lab, and your track record of last year when, other than, it's a lot of different pitchers, really. Because even Kodai Senga wasn't a part of this last year. You're talking about Manaea and Peterson. And I guess McGill for a bit. But, like, the idea you're just going to do it again, I don't know if that's fair. And it's funny, too, because all the Met fans who are, telling me that you can't, who cares about the Yankees? That was 100 years ago. Or that's the past. The past doesn't matter. Let's look forward. Well, you sure seem to think the way they fixed the rotation last year is not part of the past, that is a guarantee of what they'll do this year. I am nervous about this rotation. Now, do I think it's good enough to still have a great year for the Mets? Absolutely. Do I think that the rotation is so poor that I am nervous about the kind of year they will have? No. I think the pitching is still good enough where they'll win a lot of games, scoring a lot of runs. But you would like that ace that guarantees no losing streak. You would like that ace to go up against the big teams. You would like that ace to get into a series against the Dodgers or the Phillies And as of right now, I know how Manaea pitched last year, but he's already coming off an injury. He's had one good year in the last three. You're counting on Peterson to redo what he did in the second half. Like, this rotation legitimately is scary. Griffin Canning, these are the guys you're relying on. Now, last year, you could say the same thing, and they came through with flying colors, beyond flying colors. You couldn't have done better. But it's scary to me. And again, the one thing I'll say is, while we call the Yankee owner cheap, right? We call him cheap. He doesn't care about winning. He doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want to do that. He won't buy a third baseman. Really, that's it. You look at this team, he didn't buy a third baseman. He offered Juan Soto $760 million. He got turned down. Other than that, he's put money and put the, I mean, other than trading for, you know, Tucker, I think he's done everything he could other than the third baseman. And we're all killing him, cheap, doesn't care about winning. He's, you know, he makes all this money and we don't have a third baseman. And yet the owner of the New York Mets, who right now everybody loves, and I'm not telling you you shouldn't, he's done an incredible job. Stearns has done an incredible job, and I expect the Mets to be very good. But let's just be fair. He could have invested more money into this rotation. They don't want to do it that way. They hope to build it this way. They think it's best not to put money in the rotation. And we see the injuries left and right throughout Major League Baseball. So I get it. But at some point, you're going to want someone you fully trust taking the mound. And Manaea earned that through the course of last year. To me, he's got to earn it again. David Peterson earned that through the course of last year. He's not so good that he just earns it out the gate. He's not Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes, again, he's earned it in spring, but he doesn't, you know, and I think he's got a good stuff, but he doesn't earn your faith immediately. He doesn't get your faith immediately. He's got to go earn it. He's not Gerrit Cole. Man, none of those guys are aces that you just know they're given on what they're going to give you. Every year, like Manaea, great last year. He has to reprove it this year. Peterson has to reprove it. Clay Holmes has to prove he can make this transition. I mean, you're relying on guys who haven't had great careers, guys who haven't pitched much, and guys who used to be relievers. That's what you're relying on is your Met rotation. That is a bit scary for a team that's got to compete against the Dodgers and the Braves and the Phillies and the Padres in this tough National League to get through with a rotation of guys I don't know how much faith you have in yet. Now, once you get to the end of the season, we'll have a better idea, but right now, I don't know. So when I look at the Mets, we'll get to it. Like, I think they're a damn good team. They're clearly a playoff team. But they're in a tough division, the tougher of the two leagues, and have a lot of question marks in that rotation. A lot. Almost exclusively question marks. Let's get to Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
These two guys, the Giants got Winston and Wilson.
Yes.
They really didn't do too well on the spin of the wheel of quarterbacks.
They did not. They were not better than Rodgers, and that was pretty much the point of the wheel of quarterback, and I still very much agree. I'm very disappointed that Aaron Rodgers is not a New York Giant. I'm disappointed that it's Wilson and Winston, but I mean, I can't scream about it, and the Giants must have gotten some indication that he wasn't going to come here, but that's what I would have liked. I'm not exactly thrilled about this proposition, and so for me now, it was either Rodgers or anybody else, and now you got to draft a quarterback.
Right. Here's a couple of questions for you. The Giants go for Sanders, right?
Mm-hmm.
I never heard if Deion said this in the press. If he wants his son wherever he goes to start or to sit.
I don't think he has. No, I haven't heard him say anything. And apparently I saw the tweet where he's even denying the comments that were making the rounds yesterday or 2 days ago about him saying, hopefully it's the Giants. There was no audio of it. There was no video of it. And I do believe Deion has denied it, saying it. But I don't think he said anything about starting or anything else like that. No.
Right.
Well, clearly, if he's going to the Giants, he's not going to start. That's for sure. Tennessee, I guess Cleveland, he probably starts. Tennessee, he would start. And depending on where else he goes, I don't know. I think those are the only two teams right now where he would. I think the Raiders would be interested, but he's not going to start with Geno Smith. I think maybe if he falls to seven, the Jets would be interested, but he's not going to start over Justin Fields. So I don't know if there's another spot in the NFL in the draft where he would start other than the first two picks, and it sounds like Tennessee's taking Ward. So if he goes to Cleveland, he's got a shot. Otherwise, he's probably going to ride the bench for at least a half a year or so.
Yeah, well, I want to know how long it takes before Deion starts chiming in about the coaching or making comments or anything like that.
I mean, I don't know. Everyone assumes it's going to happen. He hasn't done it yet. He hasn't said comments about any of this.
Well, if Dable starts, you know, messing up like last year and pointing his finger in every direction besides himself, you know, I know he said week.
He's not going to blame Sanders.
Start with me.
He's not going to blame. He's not going to blame. He's not going to point the fingers at Sanders.
Well, you know, if he's playing and he's losing and he's slamming things on the sideline, that's kind of blaming the situation.
Yeah, I don't.
I still haven't seen from him any real true leadership or any kind of development of anybody.
Well, I mean,
you say you love him, but
I don't love him. I just think it was a better option than moving on. I didn't see a quarterback. I didn't see a coach out there that was any better. And I do think that I want to see him.
You were screaming. You're screaming.
I want to keep him.
Belichick, like a banshee.
I was.
You know what a banshee is?
I called him Belichick.
No, I said you were screaming.
No, I understand
Belichick.
That.
That's a coach, right?
Belichick was a coach. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So what do you mean there was no coaches out there?
Oh, I was screaming for, yeah, and I said I would take Belichick over him.
Right. So there was.
But that's it. It was just Belichick. That was it. There was no other. Like, I wouldn't have wanted Aaron Glenn over him. I wouldn't have wanted. Like, I still think Brian Daboll can coach. I don't think he's shown me anything that he's a unbelievably great coach. He did win Coach of the Year and transformed Daniel Jones into the least turned over quarterback in the league after being the most turned over quarterback in the league. Only because Jameis Winston stopped starting. But. Like, I want to see him develop and to draft and develop a quarterback. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. And we haven't really seen it yet. So, I mean, that's why I wanted to keep him, because I thought that it was still in the best interest of the team to take a quarterback here and draft and develop him. And I think they deserve that opportunity. And I think that he's better for it than anybody else that was out there. I want to see him do it. He was hired, again, I know I say this a lot, but he was only hired because of what he did with Josh Allen. You could poo-poo that. You can say he didn't have that much of an impact. I'll disagree with you, whatever. But that's what made him a coaching candidate. So I want to see him get that opportunity. That's what I want to see. And I don't think Deion Sanders is going to have a problem. They've talked or whatever. And again, he's not going to blame the rookie quarterback. He's a rookie quarterback. He's going to try and develop him. Now, he might have criticisms for him. That's part of coaching. But I doubt very much he's going to stand there and go, we lost this game because the quarterback sucks, or anything that's going to piss off Deion Sanders. While, by the way, he's getting his team in Colorado ready for the game. Like, it's not like he's just some father sitting in the stands. He's busy. He's got a college football program to run. Bobby in Sound Beach. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, Chris. As I tuned in after two, you were saying exactly what I was calling in. I was dialing at the time about the optimism with the Yankees. I am. I spoke to you last year before the beginning of the year. I thought they'd win around 95 games, and they were close. But, you know, everybody should have optimism with their team. The freaking Pirates or whoever. I don't understand how almost every host, every pundit, every person is calling them for not looking at the ceilings of everybody. Everybody's looking at the question marks. Every team, Crochet could get hurt. I don't think Boston is that, is that great. Baltimore took a step back. I think the Yankees score more runs than the Mets this year, and that's not rose-colored glasses or hating on Soto. The lineup, to me, overall this year, when you look at it, every position defensively has gotten better except left field. First base, second base, third base, left, center field, right field. Every one is in a better position.
Right.
The hitting, Bellinger, and I was hot on him when they got him. Now he's doing well and everybody's on the wagon. But, I think he hits 30 home runs here and does it. I think Goldschmidt hits fine and maybe drives in close to 100 run, 90 or where he's batting in the lineup. Jazz Chisholm for the whole year. Austin Wells for the whole year. Judge gives you 50 or 55 or whatever you're hoping, that all assuming no injuries and stuff. But you know, the Mets are top heavy. I'm not even going to, but I have a lot of Met fans, so I'm always debating against them. I think the bottom of the lineup stinks. And, you know, especially without Alvarez. And I think the Yankees have a hell of a lot of 30 home run. They could have four or five guys that could hit, you know, not out of the realm of possibility to hit 30 home runs. Guys could steal 30 bases. Guys.
That's more likely.
Yeah, you know, you don't.
Guys capable of stealing 30 bases. I mean, Judge is going to hit you. If Judge is healthy, he hits 55 home runs.
Right.
If he plays a full year, it's 55 home runs. I do think that you could see 30 out of Bellinger. I think that's probably about it, though. I don't know.
Jazz,
is it possible at Yankee Stadium Jazz hits 30? It's possible if you take his trajectory on what he did with the Yankees last year and prolong that out for 162, he does hit 30. I'd have to see that before I would be 100% confident in telling you that. Wells, the same thing. Maybe 30. That would really be a lot.
Yeah, 25. He hit
15 last year, 14 last year. Like, so I know he's had 6 in spring training. He's gotten off to a really good spring training. But
yeah,
again,
plays the whole year, though. Didn't play the whole year. Like, you know, plays more games. And I think Goldschmidt is, the guy plays healthy. I know a little bit of the back thing, but he really, for 37, he plays healthy all the time, drives in runs.
And other than last year, where everyone's focused on it, rightfully so, he's 37, and you're looking at last year. Other than last year, he's had nothing but really good years his entire career.
Absolutely.
Like, even 2 years ago. It wasn't the MVP season of 3 years ago, and it was trending down from there, but he won the MVP. Last year was really a down year for him, and the first half was really bad. And then he picked it up in the second half and turned it into just a down year as opposed to a really horrible year. But still, not very good. But, I mean, you look at the difference between this year and last year. That's the thing. Like, for optimism for me, for the New York Yankees, is, yeah, I get it. Ruth and Gehrig, Mickey and Maris, that's not going to be there with Judge and Soto. And it was last year. And it was a guaranteed part of the lineup where it was impossible to navigate, and you had two of the top three hitters in the game hitting back-to-back. And you can't duplicate that. That's why I've been a big Plan B sucks guy. It was never going to be the same. And until this offense actually shows it to me, I cannot believe that they will be as good or score as many runs as last year. But having said that, when you look at the rest of this team, I'm sorry, you got to be honest about it. Look at where the upgrades are. You mentioned it defensively, which is what we were screaming about by the end of the year, how bad they were defensively, how poor they were at fundamentals. They are literally better everywhere on the field but left field defensively. That's 100% accurate. They are better everywhere. And offensively, the bottom of the lineup is really like a bottom of the lineup. So much of last year, they didn't have a bottom of the lineup. And you look at the power and the athleticism. Like, I don't know if you have guys that could do, you know, hit 30 home runs, but how many guys do they have that could be 20-20 guys? Like, 20 home runs, 20 stolen bases. I got, like, that's a legitimate thing. You want to say 30 home runs, Judge hits you 30, guaranteed. I do think Bellinger could hit you 30. I suppose in this ballpark it's tough, but, you know, Goldschmidt's done it before, but you would count on young guys making real leaps. Even Jazz, who was on pace, if you put his numbers just that he put forth, hit 30. I don't know if I could just put that on him right out this year and just say, yeah, Jazz is a 30 home run guy. But it's plausible, but it's highly unlikely. For me, Jazz hitting 20 home runs and stealing 30 bases is almost a lock. Volpe hitting 20 home runs and stealing 30 bases is almost a lock. Like, I really feel confident about that, right? I think Dominguez is capable of that. Like, you could see the athleticism, the guys that could, you know, Bellinger steals bases. You could have four or five guys on this team hit 20 home runs and steal 25 bases. And the bottom of the order is a legitimate bottom of the order. Now, we still got to see what Dominguez is. Like, this is all in practice. And the same thing with Volpe. Volpe's had a 660 OPS. This is a huge year for Anthony Volpe. This is not just a big year for how he impacts this particular team. This is a make-or-break year in the career of Anthony Volpe, who was a top five prospect in all of baseball. Like, he was in the same conversation. Now, I think people felt Gunnar Henderson was going to be better, Bobby Witt Jr. was going to be better, but they were roughly in similar conversations. Like, they were right there. He's supposed to be one of those top shortstop prospects. He's right there with Bobby Witt Jr. He's right there with Gunnar Henderson. Now, again, they were supposed to be better, but, you know, he was right there as a top five prospect. He's not in the same world as they are. He's not even in the same hemisphere. He's not in the same solar system as the two of them. It's time to get a hell of a lot closer. Now, he doesn't have to be Gunnar Henderson. He doesn't have to be Bobby Witt Jr. offensively. I don't. That's hard to get. I know I'm saying he was in that same conversation, but it's hard to be as good as those two players are. But he's got to be better than 670 OPS. He's got to be a legitimate hitter. He was in the postseason last year. But if Anthony Volpe can be the postseason player, the Anthony Volpe we saw in the postseason, if Jazz is the same player for a full year that he was with half the year, if Jason Dominguez can be anywhere near the player he showed for those brief nine games at the end of 23, and the promise he's shown in spring training with his ability, his speed, his power, if Bellinger is anywhere near the player he's given you this spring, like, this offense can absolutely be dynamic. And let me make it clear, it can be by far, the best offensive team in their division. And that's saying, you know, when you look at the teams, the Red Sox have a decent lineup and the Orioles have all these guys, the Gunnar Hendersons, the Mountcastles, all these younger guys as well, Westberg. Like, they've got a bunch of different guys, but what have we seen from them? Rushman. But what have we seen from them? Like, this isn't, like, when you look at the Yankee team, you want some optimism? Look around. And I know that's not what you want to hear. You want to hear the big bad Yankees went out and bought this guy and that guy, and they've developed this guy and that guy, when they have, you know, Wells is going to be really good. This offense has an opportunity to be really good. But look around the league. Look at the Baltimore Orioles. Look at the Toronto Blue Jays. Look at the Boston Red Sox. They're not, you think the Boston Red Sox are necessarily better than the New York Yankees? Over what? Signing Alex Bregman and Crochet, they haven't been good for 3 or 4 years. Let me see it before I see it. Like, and then you look at the rest of the American League. Everyone tells me the Central doesn't count. And then in the American League West, it's pretty much just the Texas Rangers. The Seattle Mariners did zip. The Baltimore Orioles, the Seattle Mariners, they did nothing. The Astros got worse. Like, you look around the American League, me and Fleas are talking about it. I'm telling you right now, maybe we'll do over-unders tomorrow. I got time. We'll do different things. Like, the Yankees are a lock at 89. I'm telling you, they're. If you don't think the Yankees are going to win 90 games, I'm telling you, they are. With this back end of the bullpen, where you got Weaver, you got Williams, you got Hamilton coming. I know he's going to miss the first start of the year. You got eventually come June, you got Jonathan Loaisiga. Like, I really think the bullpen can be really good. The rotation has its issues, no doubt, but the lineup is going to be far better than people think. This is without question a playoff team. I mean, just look around the American League. It's hard to imagine them not being one of the three wildcard teams, at the bare minimum. Now, I'm not saying that's worthy of a parade or I should be screaming about it, but they're going to the playoffs. And they are, in my mind, winning this division. They're the best team in the division. They still are. And in my mind, they're still the best team in the American League, until proven otherwise. And the fan base goes around talking about this thing, like, why, like, we don't have a third baseman. Oh, stop crying. I yelled about third base. I screamed about third base. They should have a third baseman. And they haven't finalized the roster, and Aaron Boone is telling everybody on why they haven't made the announcement is because he's still waiting to see what's out there, you know, to be made. Brian Cashman's probably looking for some last-minute deals. Maybe they will have a different third baseman. I doubt it. But that's not enough reason to go around crying and holding your head low, thinking, oh, this Yankees team, this team sucks. The team doesn't suck. This team's going to be really good. And if you look at spring, and I know spring numbers don't always mean anything, but you got, and I'm excited to see Wells hit leadoff. I'm excited about the speed at the bottom. And you look at the improvements. Yeah, like, I know first base, you know, we're all concerned about 37-year-old Goldschmidt, he's replacing the worst first base in major leagues last year. There was not another. The first base for the New York Yankees was the worst first base in all of Major League Baseball. No one had a worst first base between Rizzo and Ben Rice, who has looked like a different player. Now, we got to see it. But you want to talk about he's made the team. He's been told he's made the team. He beat out a Dom Smith, who had a great spring as well. He added 15 pounds of muscle. He's hit the ball as hard as anyone in Major League Baseball this spring. And you look at his minor league numbers, he has proven he's a minor league. He dominates minor league baseball. He's got a 900 OPS for his career in the minor leagues. If he is a positive, and Volpe takes a step up. Like, these are ifs. There's no doubt about it. But again, a lot of it is ifs. You want to look at the Boston Red Sox and tell me there's no ifs? You want to look at the everyone has ifs. Look at the Rangers. Last year, their offense was horrible. One of their big time players already is not making the team. Like, I'm just saying, the New York Yankees are still the best team in the American League. This offense has a chance to be exciting, a different brand of baseball than we're used to, a top-to-bottom lineup with pretty good hitters, with a lot of athleticism, with a lot of excitement. I'm pumped to see Jason Dominguez hit every day for 162. I'm excited to see if Wells can take a step up and continue what he did in the second half and be the leadoff hitter with some pop to start the game. I'm excited about Jazz and Volpe and Dominguez at the bottom of this lineup, all of them capable of stealing 30 bases and manufacturing runs. I'm excited about Bellinger, who has, you know, his father, he's always wanted to be here. He's got a perfect swing for Yankee Stadium. He's swinging the bat harder again. He's hitting the ball really well. I mean, he played spring training like the MVP version. Again, doesn't mean anything. It starts on Thursday, but for the last couple of years, he's kind of knocked down his swing speed. He's tried to be a contact guy. This spring, the swing speed's back up. He's hitting the ball harder than he has the last couple of years. He's hitting more home runs than he has. He looks good. If he's found something, you're talking about an excellent baseball player hitting behind Judge. You've seen upgrades everywhere. There's upgrades in center field defensively. Judge is back in his rightful place in right field. Like, the team feels a lot more complete. The team feels a lot more athletic. The team feels younger. The team feels, you know, right now, I think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic about the New York Yankees. Clark Schmidt's only going to miss a week or two. This rotation last year, same thing as what I was talking about with the Mets. It's not like you can bank on it. But last year, this rotation stepped up and was huge for them at the start of the year. I still think at the start of the year, refreshed off an offseason, you're going to see as good a Stroman as you're going to get for a couple of months. Same thing with Carrasco. Max Fried has been brought in here to be an ace. Like, there's a lot of optimism for the New York Yankees. This team, I'm telling you, this team, for me, my projection for the New York Yankees, and I gave this on the Rico Bronya, the Yankees are winning 93, 94 games, and they're winning this division. That's what this Yankee team is doing. They are the best team in the American League, and when I look around the American League, I mean the Central, like if you look at it, I don't think Cleveland's as good as they were last year. They lost Naylor. They lost a couple of different people. Yeah, maybe they'll get some pitching, and they do a really good job with their pitching, but I don't think they're as good as they were last year. I know Bobby Witt Jr. is a great player. You look at the rest of that offense, they added Jonathan India, but they really haven't done much this offseason. The Twins have been, you know, the Twins. And then you look at the American League West. Let's be honest, the Angels stink, even though Mike Trout hopefully stays healthy. I mean, can we watch him have a full season? That'd be nice. But it's pretty much, I mean, the Astros are down. It's the Texas Rangers. You're looking at the Boston Red Sox, the Baltimore Orioles, the Texas Rangers as the only three teams in the same conversation as the New York Yankees. And it'll come down to what it always comes down to with the New York Yankees. How do they perform in the playoffs? And if you want to look at this team, as long as clearly they get what they need, which is Judge to produce, you look at the rest of this lineup, As much as they won't have Juan Soto, and right now I can't even tell you they'll have Giancarlo Stanton. Up and down the lineup, they do a lot of different things that can cause headaches in the postseason, and they're going to be far better defensively. I am so tired of the doom and gloom around this team. I don't know why. I know the injuries hit. I know they don't have Cole all year. I know the rotation isn't as dynamic as it was supposed to be. I get it. Luis Hill's coming back. There is the trade deadline. They do have an ace in Max Fried. And ultimately, they are the clear-cut, to me, still best team in the American League.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Taking your calls. A little bit of baseball as we transition from the Russell Wilson stuff into the season that will start on Thursday. Did a little bit of Yankees there, and I'm really optimistic about this lineup, and I'm starting to feel a hell of a lot better about this team moving forward, and I'm just starting to get a good feeling. The Mets have had a good feeling from the jump. This has been the season of good feelings. This has been the year that they have now taken over the city. They are big brothers in this town. We just announced, they sold out all of their season ticket plans. It's going to be a big year at Citi Field. Expect a lot of people there. It's going to be the place to be. It's a hot ticket for opening day compared to the Yankee ticket. Got to admit, the Yankee ticket, although it was tough to find them around here. You go on the secondary market, night and day compared to what the Yankees and the Mets are selling you. Right now, the fan bases are really different. The Yankees, even coming off a World Series, are down a lot of the Yankee fans. And I'm having a real hard time understanding it. But the Met fan is flying through the roof as you're getting all these stories. Sports Illustrated is doing a story on how they captured the heart and mind of Juan Soto and the rest of the Soto family. And obviously, you know, Brandon Nimmo making comments about how they want to be the team, you know, comments that were downplayed by the captain, Francisco Lindor, when he was on with BT and Sal. You know, hey, we want to be the best team in baseball. We don't necessarily want to be the best team in New York. We want to be the best team in baseball, and not answering the questions or taking the bait while Nimmo is out there, who, you know, hasn't really been able to play this spring. I know he hit a three-run home run against the Yankees to tie the game the other day. But Brandon Nimmo is important to this team, who's part of this lineup, who's hit or miss and went through stretches last year where he was god-awful, as well as hot and carrying the team. Came out and made comments about wanting to be the best team in New York. Doesn't want to be the stepbrother anymore. Doesn't want to be the little brother. Wants to be the big brother. They want to be the team of New York City. They want to be the team that everybody comes to see, the hot destination, the team of the city. Not the lousy Yankees with their 27 championships. Who gives a damn? That's old hat. They want to be the new kids in town, the new team that everybody cares about. Now, look, I think there's a lot of reason for optimism around the team. I think the team is very good. Now, we'll see. I think Mendoza is a legitimate manager. But again, the last time, and, you know, we're trying to think of this, the last time the Yankees and the Mets went into a season with this much optimism for the Mets and the Yankees, I think as much as the Yankee fans are down, I think it's more about where they think this team is going as far as being capable of getting back to the World Series or winning a championship and winning that 28 championship. But I think everyone expects them in the playoffs. I guess 22, everyone expected the Yankees and Mets. 23, rather. Everyone expected the Yankees and Mets to be in the playoffs. It actually was a disastrous year for both teams. But it's been a long time since the Mets were this, you know, because you can make a case right now, the Mets are the best team in the National League besides the Dodgers. But you can make a case that the Mets and Yankees are the best teams in their division, and it's been a while since you felt that strongly about it. And right now, the Mets, certainly, the optimism is through the roof. And I disagree. We had a caller before. He's talking about the lineup is top heavy. I don't think the lineup is necessarily top heavy. I think the lineup is pretty damn good the whole way through. I mean, they're very top heavy just because they got great hitters there. I think you could argue, you know, we'll see what the Braves are throwing out there. I know Murphy, the catcher, is banged up, but he's going to start the year. You've got, you know, obviously a stud at third base there. You've got a stud at first base. You've got Ronald Acuna. You've got, you know, a really good lineup there, although their outfield is a little bit sketchy at the moment. I think the Mets lineup is second to none outside of the Los Angeles Dodgers, and certainly at the top. Think about the power that the New York Mets are providing at the top of this lineup with Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Vientos. Like, just that right there, the top four right there. Think of how that those are four 30 home run hitters without question. Like, we were just talking about the amount of guys the Yankees could possibly have hit 30 home runs. The Mets come at you with four guys who are easy 30 home run guys. Lindor's done it how many times for the Mets? Soto's done it how many times in his career? Although I don't classify him as a home run hitter. He had 40 last year. They even think this ballpark and his power to left center plays to him even a little bit better than Yankee Stadium, which I'll see it. It sounds nice, and I guess there are some numbers to back it up, but we'd have to see it. I know he hits very well in this ballpark. He's always liked hitting in the ballpark against the Mets, but, I mean, Lindor's a 30-home-run guy. Soto's a 30-home-run guy. Alonso's a 40-home-run guy, and last year was a down year, but, you know, you got to hope he bounces back. I expect him to, but you got to see it. But, and Vientos, and what he gave you last year, again, 1 year, he's got to prove he could do it again. But those are all right at the top of the order. You're talking about, with those four guys, 120 home runs without question, probably more like 140 without question. That's a lot of power in your first four hitters. That's a lot of power. And that's an impossible, you know, top of the order lineup to get through. I know people think Alonso could be an easy at bat. He still can tag one. And he does better than almost every player in baseball this side of Aaron Judge. So, yeah, it's a little bit top-heavy, but then you look at the rest of it. You got Winker, you got Marte. I really am looking forward to Beatty. I think Beatty is going to be a real, you know, kind of needle mover if he could be what he's been in spring and what he's been in AAA. Now, he's had opportunities before. I don't know if I'm confident he's going to hit. But I really, he's been slick in the field. He's played second base fine. I like Acuna on the bench, and I like Beatty playing every day at second base. But you add Beatty, Siri is an excellent defensive center fielder with a little bit of pop, but not really known for his hitting prowess. But you've got Nimmo, you've got, you know, you've got the catcher right now, and when Alvarez comes back, there's some more power. So, like, I think the lineup top to bottom is pretty damn good and pretty damn powerful, and I can't think of another one that I know is better. I mean, the Braves are good. Philadelphia's good. You know, the Padres have a bunch of really good hitters in it as well. Tatis and, you know, Xander Bogaerts and Manny Machado. But, I mean, the Mets, what they throw at you up and down this lineup, and then you get to the, you know, you get to the bullpen, and you got Diaz, who's, I'm a little concerned about his velocity, not overly concerned, but the bullpen should be good enough. It's just the rotation. And if the rotation is where this team is special, if the rotation is where they find ways to get the best out of all their starting pitchers, right? We've seen a great spring from Canning, even Paul Blackburn, who's not going to start the year in the rotation. You've got a bunch of different answers for this team in the rotation that could be. Like, I just got a bunch of texts from tweets from a Met fan about all the ifs I'm saying with the Yankees. Even with the Mets, even as loaded as they are, what am I saying? It's a bunch of ifs. If Beatty, if Alonso has a bounce back year, if Vientos gives you a second season like he did the first season, those aren't guarantees. Soto guarantee, Lindor guarantee, Alonso 30 home runs is a guarantee, but a really productive offensive player. Because we weren't saying that up until that home run against Williams, we were not calling him a great offensive player. The home runs and the power will be there, but will he hit 210 or will he hit 270? Because that's the difference in what kind of, you know, hitter you're looking at there. But he's going to give you the home runs, that's for sure. So Alonso's power is a lock. Soto and Lindor are locks. Other than that, Vientos, as much as I have faith in him and belief in him, and, you know, the way he performed in the postseason makes me feel even more confident that this wasn't a fluke and he'll be good this year. He still has to prove it on a, you know, on a level where he's doing it more than 1 year. The catcher is an if. I'm sorry, now he's injury prone and he goes through these horrendous stretches of offensive struggles. And the rotation pretty much is nothing but ifs. So even the Mets, who I think is an without question a playoff team, we'll go through how I'll give you all my playoff teams. I'll give you everything. I think I'd rather do it tomorrow, the day of, but we'll see how we go here as we take you to 5 o'clock. But I mean, obviously the Mets are a 90-win team. Mets are a playoff team. Mets should be battling for a division. But even the Mets, as good as they are, really the Dodgers are the only team that don't have ifs. And right now, even with Mookie Betts, and he gets his stomach right as an if. But to me, the Met lineup the team is similar to last year under the guise of the lineup is going to be what wins them games. I firmly believe that. They're going to score a ton of runs. And if they don't, they're not going to be as good as we think. I doubt very much that the rotation is going to lead them. I don't think the bullpen will lead them. I don't think their defense will lead them, right? Because right now, defensively, I don't know how good they are. Like, how good are they defensively right now? I think, obviously, Vientos is a little bit of an issue. I don't think it kills you, but he's not a good defensive third baseman. I don't know what Beatty is at the moment, or Acuna you'd feel better about, but I do think it's going to be Beatty. At second base, that's a question mark. We all know Alonso is a serviceable first baseman, but I don't think a gold glover. We know Soto is not a great right fielder. Siri's good in center, and left Nimmo, comes and goes. He's got a knee injury. And catcher, they're pretty good, but they're not overly great defensively. I don't love their bullpen. I'm scared of their rotation. What's going to carry this team is the lineup. The lineup is as good as it gets in baseball. The rotation is something that I like the arms, I like the ability, and I love what the Mets have been able to do over the last couple of years. You got to hope that continues. And the bullpen is, I trust it. There's enough good arms out there. And I do think Diaz is, still a very solid closer, and you've added some guys around him, but those aren't the driving forces. The driving forces are this offense, and even they have a couple question marks. But there's no doubt this is a Met team that's going to win somewhere between 93 and 96 games, and they should battle for the division.